a short prayer. Loving God, please help us to see in your word this morning the wonderful privilege of having you in our life through faith in Jesus. Amen. Well, this week for my light reading, I've been enjoying a collection of the letters of George Bush Sr., one-time president of the USA. You may be thinking, what on earth is he reading that for? What's wrong with the newspapers? What's wrong with magazines? What's wrong with a decent novel? Might just be me and my tragic taste in light reading, but I found it fascinating to see what the president was writing to his friends, his family, his colleagues, to cheer them up, to challenge them, and to coach them. Well, over the next few weeks here at St. Mary's, we will be looking at a letter, the letter of 1 Peter. And it is an absolute treasure. It's written by the Apostle Peter, Jesus' closest disciple, one of the leaders of the early church, and it was written near the end of his life. And he writes to Christians who were going through a hard time. The people he wrote to had every reason to grumble and complain and moan. We're told here that they lived in the Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. These were remote provinces in the Roman Empire. You may have been there on your holidays because they're in modern-day Turkey. Here they were, scattered in the remote part of the empire. And as the letter unfolds, we discover that these readers were facing great difficulties. Some of them were slaves. Others found themselves in difficult marriages. Most of them in the Roman Empire at that time were facing insults and exclusion and persecution from their neighbours because of their faith. But writing to these Christians who are having such a hard time, Peter in this passage is full of joy. He's positive. He's hopeful. He says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because what these scattered readers have in common is that each of them have made a personal commitment to Jesus. They've come to the risen Christ in prayer, and they've put their trust in him as their Saviour who died for their sins. And they've given their life to him as their Lord. And Peter now explains to them that through Christ they have received wonderful benefits and have abundant reasons to praise God. So it's a great passage for us this morning, especially on the occasion of Alfie and Matthew's baptisms. It shows us the benefits that are ours through personal commitment to Christ, so that we can leave here this morning like Peter, saying, "Praise be to God." It's great to have with us at church week by week those who are looking into the Christian faith, considering for themselves what it would be like to make that personal commitment to Christ. Well, this morning you will see the benefits available to you in him. I want us to focus on three things that Peter says Christians have, and we'll look at each of them briefly. Firstly, Christians have a great privilege. See how he describes his readers in the first two verses. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood." He says that they may be strangers in the world, thought odd, insulted and excluded. They might be scattered in these remote places, but Peter reminds these Christians that they have a great privilege. They're God's chosen people, he says. Now, before Jesus, that was just the Israelites. But now, it is open to all. Peter tells his readers that they have been personally chosen by God the Father to belong to him. He tells them that the Holy Spirit has been working in their lives to bring them to faith in Jesus. And now they live a life of obedience to Jesus and sprinkling by his blood, which refers to forgiveness, cleansing, through Jesus' blood shed for them at the cross. So what a great privilege these Christians have. Yes, they may be suffering, but God has worked in their lives to make them his chosen people. Now, I've been following with interest the recent royal visits to Australia, trying to watch the photos on the BBC and in the newspaper. And I read that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge chose one or two of their friends and assistants to come with them on the trip, to assist them and to give them company on the royal tour. What a privilege that would have been to be one of the ones chosen to accompany the royal couple on that tour. How wonderful that would have been. Well, we see here that Christians have an even greater privilege. Chosen by God himself to belong to him and be with him. God himself has been at work in our lives, if we're believers today, to bring us to that point. That shouldn't make us proud, by the way. It's all because of his mercy. But it should make us conscious, even amidst the problems we face, that we have a great privilege. Maybe that you're just starting to see the signs of God's work in your life. Perhaps meeting Christian believers. Perhaps starting to think in a new or deeper way about God. Well, ask him to continue that work in your life. So Peter tells his readers they have a great privilege, chosen to belong to God. Not only that, he also reminds them that they have an unfading future. Let me read you the next few verses from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise comes pouring out of Peter as he considers what God has given them through the resurrection of Jesus. New birth, new spiritual life, a living hope, a future full of life. And as he says, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. They have an unfading future. Have you noticed how nothing in this world lasts forever? You buy a new car, for a few months it's thrilling, and then it starts to fade and it rusts. It's not so exciting anymore. Maybe you move to a new house. You start a new job. It's so exciting. And then after a year, it's got a bit boring. Sadly, even our bodies fail. And sadly, even our most loving relationships don't last forever. But Peter tells his readers that they have an unfading future. An inheritance, life with God in heaven, that can never perish, spoil or fade. That will be always new, always fresh, always exciting. An inheritance guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thinking again about that royal tour in Australia, one of the things I noticed is how fascinated everyone was by Prince George, the royal baby, the centre of attention in the media. I think the reason, or part of the reason, why people were so fascinated by Prince George is that he looks like a normal baby. He's weak and needy like any child. And yet, he has this glorious future ahead of him, inheriting the royal palaces. One day the authority of the crown itself will be his. Well, Peter is saying here that Christians, we are in the same position as Prince George. We look normal on the outside, weak and needy, and yet we have this unfading future ahead of us, life with God in heaven. It's what Jesus Christ offers each one of us. No one other than Christ can give a future that will never perish, spoil or fade. So if, like Peter's first readers, we've made that personal commitment to Christ, we have so much to praise God for this unfading future. So Peter tells his readers they've got a great privilege, an unfading future. And now in our final section, he tells them that they may have a tough pilgrimage ahead of them. So he says in verse 6, in this, the future, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. If we're going to praise God as Peter did, it's vital that we have realistic expectation of the Christian life. On our way to that unfading future, we have a tough pilgrimage ahead of us. We may suffer grief in all kinds of trials, as he said. Indeed, in our own community, our own church family, we've experienced and grieved all manner of suffering. Bereavement and illness, unemployment and marriage breakdown, anxiety and concern for relatives. We face all kinds of trials. We do not always understand why such things are allowed. But Peter tells us here that even such tragedies can serve a positive purpose in the hands of God. It says they've come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved. The trials we face can be dreadfully painful, but they can also strengthen our faith. Peter says it's like a furnace refining gold. The heat of the furnace drives out the impurities, leaves it stronger and purer. In the same way, God can use the furnace of trials to strengthen and purify our faith. As well as the President's letters, I've also been reading this book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, by the writer Timothy Keller. It includes a very moving account of a young man and his wife, and the young man had a chronic disabling illness. And they describe the suffering they faced, and your heart goes out to them. But this couple also talk about how through that trial, they came to know more deeply God's love and faithfulness and his presence with them in the midst of that suffering. And they say, I quote, "We found meaning, purpose, joy, growth in and through our loss." Well, their faith had been refined. As Peter says, faith is more valuable than gold, because it's our faith that connects us to God and that unfading future. So the Christian life, it can be a tough pilgrimage. We may face all kinds of trials. We need to support each other in them. Often at the time, we have no idea how God is using them. But take heart, often when we look back, we can see how they've been used to refine our faith. Now, Peter knows that as his readers walk this road, they're sustained by a real connection to Christ. See what Peter writes about the Christian's relationship with Jesus in verses 8 and 9, our final verses. He says to his readers, "Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Very interesting sentence. Peter has never met most of his readers. But he takes it for granted that since they're Christians, they love Jesus and are filled with joy. Well, what about us? We're British, most of us, so talking about feelings and emotions is difficult for us. Of course, we all experience emotions in different ways. Feelings come and go. And there may be times when we feel very flat. But deep down, this is how the Christian feels. When you think of Jesus gladly shedding his blood for you, do you not find that you love him? When you think of that unfading future ahead of you through the resurrection of Christ, do you not feel joy? As Christians, I think we do, however faintly. And let's ask God to cause those feelings to grow in us. So Peter has painted here, as we conclude, a portrait of the great benefits his readers have through their commitment to Jesus Christ. And wonderfully, this is open to all of us. We can put our trust in Jesus as our Saviour, who died for us. We can give our lives to him as our Lord, who we want to obey. And with Christ, we may have a tough pilgrimage. But But even our trials will be used to refine our faith. And with Christ, we have a great privilege, God working in our lives to make us his chosen people. And with him, we have that unfading future, that inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. So Christians, as we go from here, back into some of those same troubles that the first readers faced, let's remember the benefits that we have in Jesus. And may our hearts echo Peter's words of praise and thanksgiving. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.